Hill's Gallery, we're back. Tom Hill, second hour, 10:05. Just looked out the window. It is snowing out there. So if somebody has a little report on that, on the roads, that'd be great. We're being told, though, that the weather's supposed to clear. And then we're also being told that we're going to get a whopper tomorrow night. And that will be probably from Sunday night to Monday morning. 6 to 12 inches is what they're calling for. So you want to watch out for that. And Chris Fortier and Tom Shute will be here at the crack of dawn on Monday morning to give you the weather, the cancellations, what's going on with the roads, etc. And we'll appreciate that. The Hills Gallery program is brought to you by Buy Smart Tire and Auto. There's a new tire store in Watertown. That's Mike Santoro from the Santoro Brothers and Lou Orsini with very nice cars. And you can Google them and you can see the cars online. We're brought to you by Nutmeg Fine Wine and Spirits at 1650 Watertown Avenue on the Oakville line. They're in the Mario's Pizza Plaza. Robert Gardner is there, and Ed Nijame. They know their stuff. They have Lotto. They're really nice people. Also, we're brought to you by the Savings Bank of Danbury with three locations in Greater Waterbury. 2084 North Main. That's the old TD Bank right out there by Chase Avenue and the CVS and the Mercury Mobile. Beautifully did the whole thing over. Aji is the manager there. That's sbdanbury.com. They're also in downtown in the Home Depot Plaza, and they're on Main Street South in Salisbury. Dr. Jack McHugh is the podiatrist that does not make you wait. His new office is at 777 Echo Lake Road in front of the Watertown Industrial Park. Our company is Tom Hill Realty and Investment. We're commercial real estate experts, and our public listings can be found on tomhill.com. Our newest agent is Harold Zinno III, and he's going to be handling multifamily sales and trades and 1031. Ones. And let me just see. I think we have a couple others. I know that the BL Companies is with us. They are environmental engineers. They're civil engineers. They're architects. And the contact there is Sam Haydock. He's an LEP. And they are at blcompanies.com. I can make any introductions you need for that. And I think I have just about everybody on that. And we'll check it as we go. Kevin Zach stayed with us. And we're happy to have him. And we're going to talk Naugatuck River. We're going to talk about the mayor's really positive speech at the Waterbury Regional Chamber up at the Ponte Club. And we have a call. And let's go to line one. You're on the air.
Morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Dave from Ann's Deli.
Hello, Dave.
How are you?
Could you give us the weather report, please?
Looks like snow.
Oh, real funny. No detail?
Hey, come on.
It's right.
To the point, you know? What do you want me? Go on and on and on?
Well, okay. Well, you're pretty good at that.
Put everybody... Oh.
So tell us what's going on at Ann's Deli. Thank you. I had a fantastic breakfast on your new special bread.
You're welcome. Multi-grain flat bread that I keep a couple around. Yeah. Glad you enjoy it.
Ask for that, folks. Delicious.
How you doing?
Good. It's all about you. Take over.
Yeah, trying to remember where it was. I don't know. We're gearing up for the, a little snow today. It's supposed to clear, so everybody should be able to get out. Guess we're talking a little bit of a bigger storm on tomorrow night into Monday. So you don't want to go stand in the grocery store at the beginning of the month and wait. So run down. We're here with, cold cuts, sandwiches, dinners to go, breads, eggs, milk, all that survival food for these storms.
And also, as Paula with the squeezy knees would say here, priced to the neighborhood at $15.95 Baldwin Street.
Thank you. Yeah, some of the best cocoa prices you'll find in town. And as our governor passes a few new taxes and money gets tight, we're here to save you money. Give us a consideration, and you'll be surprised what you can do and what you can save.
I would completely agree with you, as I shop at Ann's Deli at least three times a week. And I know you can, if people call ahead, you can make all their cold cut orders, all their grocery orders, and you'll carry it to the car.
Yeah, we'll have it ready for you when you get here. It's really easy.
Except if you're Tom Hill.
Well, everything comes with a price, so.
Hey, I noticed you're really stocked up nice on the Heat to Eat meals, which are all $6-$7. And boy, you look like you had a great selection today when I was there early this morning for breakfast.
Yeah, there's an ample supply of some stuffed cabbage over rice today, some linguine with meat sauce, nice chicken alla vodka, nice piece of breaded chicken cutlet over
something.
We did it over rigatoni.
Oh, good. I'm glad you pulled that one out from left field.
Yeah. And then looking ahead to this week, a little bit of a variety. I know, believe it or not, I guess this coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. So we should have a couple meatless meals during the week for that. I know some baked ziti is planned, some baked manigot, some spinach raviolis. and the meatless items. And then we plan on doing some broccoli and gavadels with sausage one day, a little chicken marcello over linguine one day, and maybe a little ziti with chicken parm. And for those that want to splurge on Fat Tuesday, maybe I can tease them with some carrot cake, maybe a raspberry or blueberry swirl cheesecake, piece of tiramisu, maybe an Oreo pie, maybe a Snickers pie.
You're killing me.
Hey, it's my job to kill you.
No,
you don't even have to pay me.
It's to make us all
sounds wonderful.
Pleasantly
oh,
a little
Kevin,
thicker.
I thought it was Tom. I won't kill you. You're well, too valuable.
All right. Can you give your joke or two? Is it river related?
No, actually, the St. Paddy's Day parade is still on in Waterbury, so I thought I'd lean towards a little bit of an Irish joke and a little bit of an Irish humor. So, let's see. An old Irishman was coming home late one night from the pub. He passed the old graveyard. He thought of all his friends in there, and then he saw a stone at the side of the road. He thought, poor man buried out here by the highway. And he lived to be a ripe old age of 145. A fine man. Let's see. His name was Miles from Dublin.
Wow, I got that one right away. Very good.
I try to pick one that you'll get. You know that.
Now, I heard on ATR today, again, like you're saying, thank you, that the parade is on. And I heard the kickoff was 12 o'clock, but I think they gather a little early there. And it's probably at the Washington Park House, Dave.
I believe they leave from the Washington Park House and do a loop around the neighborhood, Keefe Street to Baldwin Ave to Piedmont to Edgewood to Sylvan, I think. So we're here for all you spectators that want to grab a bite to eat or a cup of coffee before you go out and see the parade, because I know after the parade you're going to go for something to warm you up.
I'll be there.
In the liquid form.
That's at the AOH?
I believe so.
All right, so how... Go ahead.
How could what?
How could people should give out your phone number a couple times so they could order ahead and you'll have it ready for them in time to go to the parade.
Sure. Best bet. Give us a call. 203-575-9051. We'll be available as soon as I get off the air with Tom. And the easiest way to get here, I want to avoid a little bit of traffic, take exit 29 off Route 8, head north onto South Main, bear right onto Baldwin, where every bit of just a half a mile from... The start of Baldwin Street on the right-hand side. It's 1595 Baldwin Street. And once again, if you want to call it in, 203-575-9051. And for those of you that aren't going to parade, we're here till 3 o'clock today. During the week, you'll find us 7 a.m. to 5:30.
All right, and don't forget, callers, I had his new multigrain wrap, which was outstanding with my egg sandwich, and I can recommend it for anything. So try out that new wrap bread. It makes the sandwich delicious. And thank you, Dave, because I told you, you always order things that I like.
You're welcome. We aim to please. So, you know, even if you don't see something here, bounce it off us. We'll be willing to try anything.
All right, I'm going to bounce this off you. Your time is up.
All right. Fair enough. Have a great weekend.
So long.
All right, bye.
Thank you, Dave, from Ann's Deli. And let's see.
What a great deli.
He's great. Let me move over the next caller. Hi. Is this someone from Tennessee calling in?
I believe so. I'd like to place an order for Ann's Deli for four.
And delivered?
Next air shipped to Tennessee because I need them tomorrow.
This is Dave Old Soul Hill. Where you been?
Oh, just in Tennessee trying to, it's Dave New Soul Hill now because I had to learn how to be a husband, a farmer, a carpenter, plumber, water treater in the country here. So I've had to start over.
You had a couple stories when Kevin was talking about river flow. Tell us about when you launched into the Litchfield River up at White Memorial a couple years back.
Yeah, it was 2012, I believe, with Hurricane Sandy, and a friend of mine and I did a little bit of recon, drove around and checked all the bridges and just made sure it was safe enough, and we launched off someone's property with permission, and it was about class 4 or at least rapids there, and we launched into the kayaks. I had some kayak experience. My friend, he's a great dirt bike rider, so I figured it would just translate to the kayak. It didn't. He flipped over. I bumped into him within about 10 seconds. He flipped over, and then we had to go. The kayak was stuck in the woods, and it was a big mess to get it out of there, and then we were able to kind of smooth sail the rest of the way once we got going again. But the river. We've experienced flooding here, and these rivers can really, really get dangerous when they pick up.
And the point of the story here for the folks, I'm going to go back. I kept Kevin Zack here, who was the steward of the Naugatuck River. And the last hour, if you weren't here, Kevin, you were talking about river flows and the danger and being smart about going in these rivers, especially we're talking about the Naugatuck River today, Kevin.
You need to know the flow. You really do. And it helps when you go with somebody that's been in that particular river. But remember, the river changes. So after Sandy or any of these big storms, it changes. Things change on the river. Things get moved around. And I can't tell you enough about the danger of what they call snags or trees. They're one of the most dangerous things you could find in a river. And when you find yourself shipwrecked, if you will, on one of those trees, the worst thing in the world you could ever do is go under them. You either stay on it until you're rescued or you go over, because you can get snagged underneath on a little tiny branch, like with your life preserver. It's extremely dangerous. And so my point is that tree that wasn't there the day before, and then it rains, and then you have a lot of water, and you go, this is going to be fun. Well, that same spot around that bend is different and presents more danger. But let me tell you, I brought up USGS flow, and from 9:30 this morning, it was 140 cubic feet per second. So it's fairly low. Now,
and was that Thomaston?
Yes, in okay. Thomaston.
This is the Naugatuck River readings from the meters that we talked about the last hour. And there, so, Dave?
Okay. Oh, I think we lost him. So, but let me put it another way. On February 24th, it was 300 cubic feet per second. Then on the 25th, it shot up to 500 cubic feet per second, and it's been steadily coming down. And so it went below 200 cubic feet per second on the 27th of February. And now it's still kind of low. But for those couple of days, technically, it was good kayaking.
Yeah, but you wouldn't want to probably kayak in February unless you had
wetsuits. Yeah, you have to be prepared. That's another level. That's getting to another something also important is, you know, that's another level. You're not talking about June.
And we went down in October, so we put wetsuits on. I always put a helmet on, and being careful
need a helmet.
Perfect example, the first kayak race that 400 people showed up for, and it was a big political event. Attorney General was Mr. Blumenthal. He showed up in his shirt and tie.
He was supposed to be in the race.
Yeah, and Michael Jarajura showed up, and he had a white shirt, a tie on, and he rode in the front of
He wasn't going to go in. He actually went in. Father James Sullivan, he was still a contractor with Sullivan Brothers.
You're right.
I had him set up with him with a canoe, just in case Jarajura changed his mind. Ooh. Joan Hartley went down with somebody else. I don't know who, but they both went. She didn't flip. Jarajura flipped three times.
Oh, you know what? Joan Hartley was in a safari outfit, and she was in a different kayak.
With somebody else.
She was dressed for the affair, and Michael Jarajura had one of his aides paddle, and he was in the front of
a dress shirt.
He had a dress shirt, a tie on, and they gave a lecture that you had to help people if they got stuck. And I said, wait a minute, this is a race. I'm not helping anybody. And I came across Michael Jarajura, and he's going down like he's on Lake Quassipog. And you talked about practice on a flat lake. He was going down like he was in a flat river, and the kayak hit a rock, and it shot him out of the kayak like a torpedo. And he went under. And he popped out with his shirt and tie on. He was okay. And I went, good luck, Mayor. And off I went, because it was a race. But you have to be careful. Okay, let's blend Dave Old Soul Hill back in from East Tennessee. Dave, tell the folks where you are in East Tennessee and about the water and the flooding you've had over the last week or two.
North of Knoxville had been raining pretty much on and off since October, but we had 9 straight days of rain last week, and it caused some serious flooding all around. Even I think Nashville too area got hit, but just the river on about a mile from my house, up 10 feet coming over the bridge. There was a picture online that comes up pretty quickly. It's a fire truck and tipped over in 7 feet of water, trying to rescue another car. And there was some, I think someone had lost their life who got stuck in the water, drove right into a, you know, flooded area and got stuck in the car. So it was a lot of damage and a historic flooding here for sure. And I live down, I have a creek running through my yard, so that was raging. And then the crawl space flooded and lots of digging ditches in the rain and trenches, direct water away from all your buildings and everything like that. So it was a good one.
Dave, how long have you lived there?
2.5 years.
Have you seen in 2.5 years, has it been extreme? You know, like it's either low flow or high flow because of extreme rains. See, that's what we've, in the last three, four, 5 years, it seems that's what it's either feast or famine in that river. I mean, you're down, it's, you know, it's down below 100 cubic feet per second, or it's up to, you know, 700, 800, 1,000 cubic feet per second.
There's no balance from what I've seen with the weather and especially the rainfall. Like we had our creek and runoff areas were very small when we moved here in June of 2016. And then over time, it's as we get these big rainfalls, it's just opened everything up so like about five times the size from when we were originally here. So everything's gotten deeper, bigger. Now we basically have a creek running through our yard now that we can actually, if we wanted to, we can sit in a tube and probably go down it for a couple hundred feet till we run into the neighbor's property. So it's just got, the weather is across the board just getting more extreme and more violent.
You know, it's, I think that's one of the benefits of Connecticut here. We're not getting a lot of tornadoes. We're not getting a lot of floods. And Kevin can attest to the flood control that was done on the Naugatuck River after the 55 flood. And Kevin, how would you say that changed the river and the landscape based on you're always saying that the Naugatuck River is always changing?
Well, it changes in the channels. The Naugatuck River has been changed by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and they changed it and prepared it for what they call a 1,000-year flood, and it's not so it's been very channelized, so it would take monumental efforts to bring it back to the way it used to be. But rivers need floodplains, and that's, you know, the problem with Waterbury, and hence the term Waterbury, is you're looking at, you know, people used to get flooded out in the 1600s. They used to settle in very fertile areas, and then it would come up and you couldn't cross the river. So I'm sure people got locked on one side and they, you know, couldn't get back until the rivers receded.
And moving back down, Sandy and I have been down to see you, Dave, you and Livy in Knoxville, Tennessee. Tell the folks here and Kevin about your the trips you took us to. Was it the Tennessee Valley Authority?
Here in the South, in Tennessee, Alabama, these areas have all been, TVA took over in the, I don't know the timeline, but 1950s or earlier, and flooded a lot of these low basins, farmlands, bottomlands where people had inhabited, and they moved them out. They flooded all these areas, put in dams to bring power to the South, and giant steam plants, coal plants, dams, and one of them that we took you to was Norris Dam State Park, and that one they'll raise the river up and down every year depending on the season and the water flow, and just it's just amazing how much power that water harnesses and how much water there is and the way they're able to just kind of control it and utilize that energy. It's something else.
I like how you've adopted, I think, the word creek versus brook, or did you go down there with that word, or did it adopt you?
No, creek was a new word for us. They call it a crick here, but or we live in the holler, they call it, which is as a hollow. I had to do a little research on that, and they do call it a hollow, and it's just between two ridges, and we get our water from the creek And it just takes it from the top of the water and goes through a pump house up to the house, and that is a problem in itself, which is getting fixed. But yeah, this is country life here, and the South is much different.
You're on Hill's Gallery. We have Dave Old Soul Hill. He says young soul now from Knoxville, Tennessee, on his little farm today. And I'm thrilled to have Kevin Zack, who is the river steward of the Naugatuck River. He's been here since about 9:15. I met him at the City of Waterbury's address by Mayor O'Leary the other day at the Ponte Club with the Waterbury Chamber of Commerce, Waterbury Regional Chamber. And Dave, can you give us a minute there to hold on?
Sure.
All right. We're going to go with Chris Fortier in our news and weather, a couple of commercials, and we'll continue this. 203-757-1320. Thanks for listening. Tom Hill. Tom Hill. Tom Hill. He's great. First rate. Tom Hill. That's me. We're talking Naugatuck River, and when Kevin was talking about the dams, we have Thomaston Dam, Northfield Dam. There's dams all over the place that kind of redid and controlled the Naugatuck River. We're on the phone with Dave Old Soul Hill from Tennessee. Talk about the magnificent dams around your house at Norris Lake and that the Tennessee Valley Authority have put up.
Oh, they're just... It's hard to describe them in words until you see them in person, but they just so much the acreage. I mean, Norris Lake itself is 36,000 acres, and you compare that to maybe Candlewood, I think it's 5,000. So everything just seems to be bigger here when you get to these lakes and dams in this Tennessee area and other parts of the South. I think there's a giant area in Kentucky too that's even dwarfs that. So it's something else.
It's a big country, and we live in a, you know, our New England, everything's tight and small. It's only a couple hour, an hour and a half ride to Manhattan or to the White Mountains. It's only a couple hours, and everything's, you know, a short distance. When you start to drive across the country, you get down into Tennessee or wherever, and the area just gets bigger and bigger. It's a big country. So, you know, it's not surprising these things are that big down there.
Kevin, you were talking about some of the dams here, and there were some whopper giant doors down below around Ansonia.
Yeah, if anybody's listening and wants to and is curious to just explore, especially the Naugatuck River, an interesting aspect of the Naugatuck River is down in Ansonia along the dikes, because they suffered greatly during the flood of 55, and they created these flood control projects down there. But I was filming some birds down there, some osprey nests, and I came across a big, when I say a big door, it's out of something like a kid's book, you know, and it would be the entrance to a giant's castle. And the hinges are the size of a man. I don't know. They're just massive hinges, and they're steel. They're silver. They could be stainless steel, or I'm not sure. I thought it was an entrance to a bunker, actually, the first one I saw. And then it took me a couple of months, but then I looked at it objectively at one particular day, and I realized what it was, because there was a railroad track that went alongside of it.
The river, the Naugatuck Railroad,
yeah,
goes down through,
yeah, exactly,
to Bridgeport.
And the Naugatuck, the railroad actually goes through the Ferrell factory down there in Ansonia. And that's where I was. And I realized it was a door to close off the Naugatuck River, and it actually went right over the railroad track.
How?
And then I thought that was the only one. And that there must be, there's several down there, and they're on both sides of the river. And if you went to River Street down in Ansonia, there are two actually that are on opposite sides of this little street. So you come through a dike area, and these doors are made to shut, to keep the water out. And it, when once you pass these doors, there's a couple of companies
It's just they're amazing.
You know, like, so...
The river control as you got in through the valley. And the reason we're bringing this point up is I had the absolute pleasure of joining Savings Bank of Danbury at their table for Mayor O'Leary's talk on Waterbury. And we had said earlier we thought that Mike Puffer missed the story and made it more about politics and the mayor running. But the mayor's talk for an hour was unbelievable about the things and the message of hope and progress around Waterbury. And he brought up the Naugatuck River. He had Kevin Zak in the audience and the fact that the River Brigade was working so hard to clean out the river. And talk about some of the old industrial leftovers that when you there was no flow that day, Dave, they could walk in the with their sneakers. What you pulled out of the river that was on the mayor's slideshow.
It was it was a two-phase part of the brigade where we had industrial riggers come down with a crane. The first time we were able to pull a car engine out of the river that was dated between 1900 to 1940, just by its design. And then we pulled out some I-beams, but we tried to actually also pull out a railroad rail that it turns out it weighs just south of a ton. About 1,800 pounds, and it was actually tipping the crane over, so we aborted it, and because it was perpendicular to the crane out in the middle of the river, and I'd been trying for like over a decade to try to get that out, and thinking how to get it, and the River Brigade created the opportunity. Now, what we did in between that was I took the kids, and it was all them. I filmed this, and I got to tell you, if anybody ever has a chance to see the movie that I'm going to make, they'd be in for a thrill. But having said that, the kids took these 4x4x16 foot long boards that we found in the river. We found some cinder blocks, and we had 4 pry bars. The kids turned that rail 90 degrees so if and when the crane ever came back, we would be ready for it this time so it could just pull it through the river. And they did.
And the mayor showed that there's so many youthful people that shovel and want to help in the city, and he was outlining that there's a lot of good, positive youth movement. And how many tires did you take out?
I can't even count them. We don't even have a count. It was a daily thing. The kids worked from about 30 hours a week, and when the river was too high, when the flow was unsafe to go in, we went into a classroom type environment and showed them movies on the river, so on and so forth. But Tom, I don't even know.
It's amazing to de-junk the river. Dave, we're hearing Dave Hill in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're hearing a lot of barking in the background. What's going on there at your farm?
Oh, those are puppies. My wife started a business years ago, and we raised French Mastiffs, or Dog de Bordeaux, and we have puppies, and they're playing, and they bark, and so if I'm too loud, I can disconnect.
We're enjoying them. How old are these puppies, and when will they be going to their new homes?
We had a litter December 8th, and all those are just about sold and have gone to their homes all over the place, mainly the Carolinas, a couple in New York. One's on the road right now being delivered to outside of New York City as we speak. And then we had a litter born Christmas Day, and they are 10 weeks old, and they are currently being advertised and taking deposits on them too. So it's very busy, but it's our passion, and we get to work from home.
Dave, how big do they get?
Males up to 140, females around 90 to 100, and we like to keep them lean and muscular because of health issues. The breed faces because people overfeed them, and this mastiff breeds are different than other breeds. They grow slower and longer, so you have to take your time with feeding them, and they need exercise despite of what people think.
I was working with a customer that was going to raise German Shepherds as work dogs, and you told me that the history of these dogs. Tell us about the history of these dogs.
They've dated back to 15th century as far as solid records, but they think they're older than that. They've guarded castles in the French Revolution. They were all dyed with their owners and castles. And then the breed was also nearly exterminated in Nazi Germany in the 1940s. There's only 6 breeding pairs available as of 1950. And they were... Brought to the United States, and you know, Turner and Hooch in the 80s made the breed popular again, but they weren't recognized in the AKC till I believe 2006. So it's still a very rare breed. There's not a lot of them in the world compared to other breeds, so they're still they're coming along, and there's still just some breeders that few breeders like us trying to better the breed with health and longevity, because they've had some lifespan issues and some genetic problems from people not stretching out their gene pools far enough.
And did you say you saw an opportunity for them to get back into the business as work dogs?
Yes, they're excellent working dogs. Throughout history, they've always hunted hogs, rounded up cattle, pulled wagons. They also are great guarding dogs, especially. They do not bite first and ask questions later. They're very they assess. They're very wise. They're very loyal, and especially just can be anything you want them to be. They're great. You could be therapy dogs. They're just very wide range, and we're focusing on them that you're doing personal protection work with them like you would expect out of a shepherd police dog.
Do they try to get in your lap?
Yes, they are big. They can't get enough love. You can literally squeeze and hug them, and they will not stop you. They just will overdose on love, and they'll always want to be next to you, and they don't know their size sometimes either.
I'm joining to the listeners, Attorney McSherry from Naugatuck, a gifted commercial real estate attorney. Just, I'm getting a lot of text. Here's one. Go Black Rock Canines. Nice show. Kevin and Dave, new soul, sound great.
Hey, Kevin.
So what would, Dave, you want to give a little tip to people who think they're going to go into the business to raise and breed dogs?
Probably don't, because there's enough breeders that aren't doing a good enough job, frankly, and it's a ton of work. You have to remodel your whole entire home and property to be able to do it correctly, and it's very, very taxing on your time and money. There's not big profits in it if you're doing it correctly. It's more of a love and a passion, and you have to learn to live simply, in our case, to make it work. And they're just, dogs are very precious, and you have to make sure they're going to be healthy, and you have to be professional and do it correctly. So it's not for everybody.
All right, and before I let you go, I know a lot of people really loved your musical performances when you were in Connecticut. Would you let us know what you're doing with your music and whether it'll be appearing again in the future?
It's been nice to have a couple years from not performing out, because I've really got to reflect on maybe what I was doing wrong, and also kind of just, I've just been so busy with everything else, but hopefully I can start writing songs again and working on the ones I have, and I'm close to Nashville, so it'd be great to get them in the hands of someone where I can possibly, you know, get them out to the world, but no pressure on my end. I'm just kind of enjoying the ride right now.
What kind of music?
It's more country-like, folk. I think they, now I'm learning that everything's called Americana. If you can't quite put a title or a genre on it, they just call it Americana because it has different styles. But, you know, I have different influences, but a lot of them are older country people like Merle Haggard and Waylon Jennings. Not the lifestyles, but the music.
Jake, tell your dad at some point one of your favorite songs that you've written or you really like, and I'll put some video to it, and I'll send it to you.
Oh, I gotta record them first, but probably Colorado would be one of them that I cherish. So and a few others. So I hope to be able to record them at some point. It's just time.
Could you please give your dog Dorbo a French Mastiff website in case anyone needs a puppy?
You can Google search our website, @ Keeper and Guardian Bordeaux, and that brings you to Instagram, where we do everything on, and or AKC Marketplace, and we have a page there with all our puppies listed for sale.
Okay, and you're going to get an invoice from Tom Shute for $299 for that.
Oh, I don't know if I can afford that right now, you know, that cost and all that. So.
All right. Nice hearing. Anything you want to add?
No, I appreciate Kevin being on and all that great information, very well researched, and I appreciate hearing all that, and I'm glad I can call in and talk a little.
Back at you, Dave.
Adios, amigo.
All right, bye.
We're back with more. And we are back. And Kevin's girl or wife gave you a tip, your wife, on a kayak learning so you don't get hurt.
Yes. Shout out to my beautiful wife, Sandra. But she reminded me that Collinsville is in Collinsville Canoe and Kayak in Collinsville is probably the best place you can go, one of the best in Connecticut, to buy a kayak, learn about a kayak, and they give lessons and they rent, but they have you go out in the ponded area behind their shop. So any shop that rents, the responsibility is really they need to be sure you can handle a kayak on moving water. And really, that's the bottom line. And they're very responsible. I highly recommend them. I have nothing, no connections with them except professionalism dating back years.
And if you're going down a river, especially the Naugatuck River, wear a helmet, wear a life jacket. Think about all these things. And I'm no professional kayaker, but I was surfed a lot in my life, and I'm pretty handy in the water. And guess what?
That's the takeaway.
I got spit off it, and it's a good thing that I was able to. I had a rope. I didn't lose my stick because I thought about it ahead of time. And
that's the other thing.
We had going out on lakes.
You could lose. Chester had one of my paddles for a long time because he lost one, and I happened to be on Platts Mills, and he was going down the Naugatuck River, and he lost his paddle. You can't do anything if you lose your paddle.
But
you're stuck.
And going down the Naugatuck River, whether it's you're pulling it with and walking in the sneakers, pulling it with a rope, or you're going down on this, what is it, 200 to 500 cubic flow.
250 to 500 cubic feet.
And what was the fastest? You went down at 2,000?
And that was just about my pay grade. I wouldn't want to go any. It was a class two. I'm not proficient. I'm not an excellent kayaker. I'm okay.
Well, that's same with me. But sometimes you think you're better than you are. And Chester and I went down one day. Then it was probably 3,000 or 4,000. It was a thrill ride. And you were saying how it drops. It drops. Man, there were some times.
A foot a mile. That's really steep, by the way, for a river.
Oh, I felt like we went down.
It's very rocky.
Sometimes I thought I got down 6 feet down and thought I was getting sucked into the bottom of the river, and we got spit out, and we went from Naugatuck to Beacon Falls, 7 mile ride. Man, okay, let's talk about all these river walks. And you talked about Ansonia and these giant doors. I'm amazed because I go down and do the river walk in Ansonia and Derby, and you can get a look at how this river, all the work that's been done down there, and all the rock walls. Talk about these river walks for the rocks strategically placed and the river walk that's coming from Thomaston through Waterbury.
Okay, I'm gonna hijack that a little bit and kind of like drag the River Brigade into this. One of my regrets last summer with the River Brigade was not having enough time to teach them more about the Naugatuck River. In other words, we were I was hell-bent in getting certain things out of the river. So I maximized their time. And hopefully this year, with the next River Brigade, I'll spend more times exploring the river, where it begins, where it ends. We did take them to the headwaters, but I never got them to where it enters the Housatonic down by O'Sullivan's Island, or show them those flood doors. So and also teach them basically about these, you know, the greenways that are existing along the Naugatuck River, as well as the ones that are coming. So what's happening in Waterbury is, as the mayor stated in the state of the city, he was like, Tom, help me with this one, where he was describing the upcoming shovel in the ground. He was having a hard time because we've been trying to do it for about
a decade, right? I've been on the Greenway committee for I don't know how long, forever, since it started. And it, it's going out to bid this year, in I believe in June, for construction. So the point being is that this really is happening.
And without question. I just think it's funding, it's construction companies, it's getting to run the right way, it's easements, and who's going to let them go. And it, and the
and the archaeological find at Platts Mills, where it dates back pre-contact, what they call pre-contact. That's before it was colonized. They found a woman settlement in the Platts Mills area by South Main Street, where Platt Park is going to be. And that held it up another year.
Yes.
So they had three digs there. And so they've, I guess they're, they feel confident it's okay. They didn't want us to dig it up and destroy that, because it's the only place on the Naugatuck River that anybody knows about that has not been touched.
Well, and you're seeing the unintended consequences. We met Rick Dunn from the Connecticut, from the Council of Governments, and we saw him in the Republican American. Great story about the motorcycle riders who get to ride. There's nowhere to ride your dirt bikes to speak of, and they ride. They get with permission. They ride at the Thomaston Dam, and now this Riverwalk. They're needing to make sure the motorcycle guys are saying, "Don't take our area away." But I think if the Riverwalk's going to go through there, a simple, and I didn't see this in the article, but a simple solution might be to fence the river walk so the motorcycles can't run into the walkers.
Absolutely. And so it's a blending of all our needs and recreation. And by the way, that's an interesting point about the Thomaston Dam is a dry dam. And one of the reasons why they couldn't hold water back or release it for that first race was because they had been behind that dam using it in May, the time of the kayak race, long before we came up with a river race. So there's that conflict dates back to the first river race, really. But it's all tied. We have to work together.
Well, there's no question about it. So one more till we're almost up to the 11 o'clock hour. Roland Hopkins, founder of the New England Real Estate Journal, and an old DJ from WBIS in Bristol. You've heard him with me over the years. One of my favorites. He'll be here at 11:10. Okay, so if those kayakers don't want to wait for the dam to open, when you notice the weather and there's how many days of rain will it make for the river to go faster?
Well, it could be an hour, 2 hours. It really changes that quickly. That's why you have to really be careful. It's called the run of the river. And you have to be in touch with. I actually pulled up on my phone the USGS website. That's how I got that the river flow as it is flowing basically now. And it's really important to know that flow. So if it could go down, put it another way, during the River Brigade, you know, if it rains today and it fills up, you know, on Monday it might be okay to walk in it. And it depends on the water table, because if it's been raining for a length of time, the water tables everywhere are too high, so it takes longer for the river to drain. Remember, it's like a bathtub. It can drain that fast.
Wow. And to you, to the listeners, thanks for the calls and the texts. And, you know, this is an asset right in your own yard.
You don't have to build it.
And our Mayor O'Leary gets it. And we're so happy that he included all this and Kevin Zak in his great productivity talk and State of the City. And I think that's probably posted somewhere. You can call the mayor's office and ask, but he had video, he had it all. Kevin, why don't you say your 30 or 40 seconds and why we're going to go out with this song.
Copper Line?
Yes.
Oh, that Copper Line was the very first song we used behind Naugatuck River video. Things I strung together almost like a home movie, but of the Naugatuck River. And we used that at the first Naugatuck River Forum at the Mattituck Museum, which needs to be revisited. As a matter of fact, there's a few things that we could talk about, but Copper Line reminded me of the Naugatuck River in my childhood there.
What's your website?
It's not a website. It's a Facebook, Naugatuck River Revival Group Facebook. We're building a website.
Great guest. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
They call it like they do. I was wondering since the age of two, down on Copper Line. Copperhead, copper beach, copper kettle sitting side by each. Copper cork up a Georgia peach, down on Copper Line. Half a mile down to Morgan Creek, leaning heavy on the end of the creek. And a hog-nosed snake down on Copper Line. We were down on Copper Line. Warm summer night on the Copper Line. Slip away past supper time. With smoke and moonshine down on Copper Line. One time I saw my daddy dance. Watched him moving like a man in a trance. He brought it back from the war in France. Down on the Copper Line. French water and tomato wine. Creosote and turpentine. Supple mass in the moonshine. Down on Copper Line. Down on Copper Line. First kiss ever I took, like a page from a romance book. The sky opened and the earth shook. Down on Copper Line, down on Copper Line. Took a fall from a windy height. I only knew how to hold on tight and pray for love enough to last all night. Down on Copper Line. Day breaks and the boy wakes up, and the dog barks and the bird sings, and the sap rises and the angels sigh. Yeah. I tried to go back as if I could, all spec house and plywood. Tore up good.